south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
All right, now, you heard me say I get a lot of emails from lonely hearts up in the States asking me about the mating, dating, sex, love, marriage, hookup, romance angle here in Latin America. And since I hit on the topic a little bit in the last show, man, did I get a slew of emails asking me to read a few of the more dicey emails I get on the subject. Everybody wants to hear the dirt, right? Well, you asked for it, so man, I'm going to blow your mind a little bit with a couple of these. The first one, a very un-PC email from a guy, Lonely Hearts case, actually a pretty representative guy who's been through the brutal divorce mill up in the States. And now, after all that, dipping his big toe and certainly other things into the deep end, or could be the shallow end, of the Latin American mating and dating game. And I'll get to that in a few minutes, but let me warn you, it's not for the faint of heart, and it'll only be part one, because there's more to come on that inexhaustible topic on the next show. But as I've said many times before, I don't want to turn myself into a Latin American Ann Landers. Guess I'm dating myself again. However, since, as mentioned, a full third of all the emails I get have to do with love, mating, dating, romance, sex, and divorce, relationships, and everything else under the sun. Oh, most of them know what it's like up in the States. They've been through it. But they want to know what it's like down here in Latin America. Some gringos and gringas have heard the rumors or read the blogs up in the States, and they wonder, could it be true? Is the mating, dating, romance game as played in Latin America all that much different than up in the States? Well, I'm here to tell you, in a lot of good and positive ways, I'd have to say yes. But there are pitfalls, big ones. Meaning a lot of gringas and gringos have been sucked into some very terrible Latino-Latina relationships. And we'll hit on most of that stuff, though they might not go down well with you at all. So you might ask, or maybe you know already, what drives gringos and gringas up in the States to throw in the mating and dating relationship towel up there and come down to Latin America to try their luck? That's a complex question, which begs yet another question, which is, why a gringo or gringa up in the States who's had some bad or failed relationships is going to have any better luck down here in Latin America? Well, just hang on, we'll get to that. But first, a word from our sponsor. Scratch that, we don't have any sponsors. Which in a way is a good thing because then there's no censorship and I can say exactly what I feel like. Which in itself may not be such a good thing. Anyway, before we get to the mating, dating, and lonely heart stuff, did you guys by any chance catch this story coming out of mainstream media up in the States? This came out on September 21st, just about a week ago. The headline, Guatemalan gets 16 years in prison in a crash that killed star Colts football player. Starts out, Dateline, Indianapolis. A man from Guatemala living illegally in the U.S. was sentenced Friday to the maximum of 16 years in prison for a drunken driving crash that killed Indianapolis Colts linebacker Edwin Jackson and his Uber driver. A Marion County judge sentenced Manuel Orrego Salava after hearing emotional testimony from Jackson's mother and the widow of Jeffrey Moore, the 54-year-old driver Jackson had hired from the ride-sharing service Uber the night of the deadly February crash. Now get this, it says, Orrego Salava, 37, pleaded guilty in July to two counts of operating a motor vehicle with blood alcohol content of 0.15 or more, causing deaths. The sentence marks the maximum possible under his plea agreement, 16 years. Now here's the killer part, no pun intended. Investigators said that twice deported Orrego Salava had a blood alcohol content of 0.19, 2.5 times Indiana's legal limit, when his truck crashed into Jackson and Monroe on February 4th along Interstate 70 in Indianapolis. Turns out, it said, 26-year-old Jackson, the linebacker, and his Uber driver were outside of the car standing there on the highway shoulder when Orrego Salava's truck crashed into them and killed them. Authorities said Orrego Salava was fleeing the scene, which is another felony, when a state trooper came along and detained him. Under his plea agreement, which to me, Johnny, is so lame and so hard to understand. I mean, come on, why do they give a guy like that, who's not a citizen, not even in the country legally, and who's been deported two times, a plea bargain? Man, if you ask me, it's the lawyers, the judges, and the politicians that ought to be wearing the orange jumpsuits. Anyway, if that's not disgusting enough, listen to this. It says prosecutors dropped two other felony counts, one being failing to remain at the scene or fleeing the scene of an accident. To which I say, me, Johnny, what the f***? Now, I won't read the whole thing here, but the widow of Monroe said in court, quote, "My family and I are now serving a life sentence because of you." She said, speaking directly to Orego Zavala, who kept his head lowered during much of Friday's hearing. Then she yelled out, quote, "You're a drunk, a liar, a murderer, and a coward." Then it says, 6 foot, 234-pound Jackson grew up in Atlanta, started 8 games for the Colts during the 2016 season, finishing third on the team with 61 tackles. Which is why, by the way, this story is getting press at all, because these things happen every day up in the States. We're talking about car and truck accidents involving inebriated illegal aliens. All right, me here, Johnny, again, just a little comment. You know, living down in Latin America a long time, I can tell you one of the reasons this stuff happens. Because drinking and driving is not considered a felony in most Latin countries. Sure, they might give you a fine for it, but they won't even take your car away. They'll just call someone to drive you home. And most times, the only way they'll tow your car away is if you get involved in an accident and don't have insurance coverage. And if you do have insurance, believe it or not, it's the insurance company that'll want to know if you're drunk or over the limit, because then they don't have to pay out if it's your fault and the other guy's car has been damaged. In fact, I know of many cases where a guy's drunk or over the limit. He's been pulled over by the cops for whatever reason, and they don't even give him a ticket. Sometimes the cops will even drive you home themselves. In fact, that very thing happened to one of my expat insider seminar attendees. He ended up living down in Latin America, and one night he was driving drunk, got pulled over somehow. He was plowed and his Spanish sucked, and he managed to call his local Latin lawyer. Lawyer got on the phone with the cops, and they actually drove him home. So Latins are used to drinking and driving, and many times they'll have open booze in the car. In fact, just yesterday I pulled up to a busy street corner, and the guy right next to me, the driver, was sucking down a beer. Now, you've heard me say it many times before, when illegals sneak into the States, they bring their bad habits with them. I'm sure you've heard the saying, po' folks have po' habits. And I can tell you that 100% of the illegals that sneak into the U.S. are poor, uneducated, undisciplined people, mostly adolescents and young men with lower than average IQs. And the vast majority of Latin males in that category like to drink. All right, you could say, Johnny, there you go, generalizing again. Well, let me tell you, every night in every small pueblo in Latin America, medium and large towns too, you can drive past any of the local cantinas and hear these guys singing and staggering out the front door, often right into the street, walking down the highway. I can't tell you how many times I've had a near miss with a staggering drunk. And believe me, if these poor working class macho guys had a horse or a car, they would not insist on anyone driving them home. Because you see, they've got that macho thing going, and that's the key. Which is reason number 1,276, why you should think twice before you drive at night. Oh, but it's also true that the middle, upper middle, and wealthy classes of Latinos love their booze too. Only they're not the ones sneaking into the States illegally and bringing their bad habits with them. But I digress. Let's continue. It says Orego Zavala, deported from the U.S. in both 2007 and 2009 as an illegal. He was in the country illegally at the time of crash too, said authorities. Oh, and of course it says Orego Zavala's attorney in a statement to the court. Oh, and guess who paid the court costs and the attorney's fee? You. So his defense attorney that you paid for said he has the disease of alcoholism and then blamed his alcoholism on being away from his family in Guatemala and saying he needs help with his addiction and a better education. And who's going to provide that? Give you one guess. And of course, you're going to pay for his 16 years in jail, too. That runs around 60 grand a year. That's the better part of $1 million. You all right with paying your fair share of that? Then it says, his defense attorneys, oh, he's got more than one, requested for him to have alcohol treatments while in prison. Now get this, and don't you really wish there were phasers like in Star Trek where you could vaporize every attorney you see? His attorneys asked the judge if he takes alcohol treatment classes in prison, would he get his time reduced if he actually attended the classes? Oh. Remember that movie Purge? Don't you think they should have a day like that just to purge the world of lawyers? Oh, and this is how it works, and I bet you didn't know this. I certainly did it. It says here, if it's a state crime and good behavior is part of the program, they could cut 8 years off his sentence. If he attends alcohol treatment, they'll drop another year. And if he attends educational slash trade classes, they'll drop another 3 years. So this guy could be out in 4 years. Then, of course, he'd be rightfully deported and soon enough back in the U.S. where he thinks he belongs, behind the wheel drinking and driving again. Oh, but you know, all that time in prison, that separates him from his children, right? I'm talking about the two families he has, the one up in the States and the one in Guatemala. Which begs the question, does his partner, wife, kids, whatever in Guatemala even know he's got another family up in the States? Which also begs the question, are there any comments from the liberal left defending this guy? Yep, another poster child for the open border crowd. Of course, when he gets deported for a third time and sneaks back in, you can bet he'll go to one of those sanctuary cities. Yep, it's a brand new phrase here in Latin America, sanctuary city. Ciudades de Santuario. Yep, it's a new buzzword or buzz phrase here in Latin America. Everybody's heard of it. That didn't take long. And you know, it's lit a fire under those who wanted to sneak into the States, but figured it was too long, hard, and risky. Not to mention, once they got there, they'd be dealing with a beefed-up version of ICE and the likes of Trump. Now they've got that carrot-and-the-stick term known as Ciudades de Santuario, sanctuary cities. Good work, California. Congratulations, Jerry Brown. He's the guy that set the ball rolling, right? Oh, and by the way, I'm kind of surprised this news story hit the first world media at all. Usually, stories like that are so common, they never do. But this time, a celebrity was killed. Now, here's the part you didn't know. Everybody I'm meeting these days here in Latin America, and I'm talking about Latinos and Latinas, are thoroughly pissed off at the Venezuelans. Because, you see, there's an exodus of millions of them into adjacent Latin countries, and Latins in those countries don't like it at all. Sound familiar? Only the thing is, you see, these Venezuelans are educated and cultured. Oh, it's true, they haven't got any dough or a pot to pee in, but they've got education. So they're not poor folks bringing their poor habits with them. And yet, the adjacent Latin countries, the people in them anyway, are thoroughly pissed off. Why? Because that's what happens, you know, when desperate people pile into your country, especially as illegals. So isn't it funny when you've got countries like Peru, Ecuador, Brazil, Colombia, Paraguay, etc., talking about building walls and putting up stiff borders to keep the Venezuelans out? They're all saying they have to stem the tide. So here in Latin America, there are movements all over the place to build walls. Wouldn't you say there's some kind of universal karmic irony in all that? And worse yet, have you ever been to the Dominican Republic? The place is just swarming with illegal Haitians. And man, do the Dominicans hate the Haitians. In fact, I've never heard a single Dominican say a nice thing about a Haitian, except they do the shit jobs the Dominicans don't want to do. For example, who do you think's on all the garbage trucks, doing all the gardening at the casinos, hotels, and for the rich folks? And who do you think's doing the drywall, digging the ditches, and doing the cement work? The Haitians, of course, because they'll work for cash and half for the minimum wage in the Dominican Republic, which, by the way, is pretty low, like around $300 a month. And what makes the prejudice in Dominican Republic even worse than any place I've ever seen it is the fact that the Haitians are black as coal. I mean, they are black. And even the dark Dominicans, who you might call black if they were up in the States, are not nearly as black as the Haitians. So as Dominicans will tell you, they could spot one in a second, blocks away. Whereas in the rest of Latin America, with the Venezuelan illegal immigration problem, they're physically indistinguishable from most other Latino Latin American populations. In fact, in most cases, the only way to distinguish a Venezuelano from someone from another Latin country is in their speech. They've got a particular accent, but they can't be spotted out physically like the Haitians are in the Dominican Republic. So I'll tell you, it's a fact. If you're in a Dominican Republic and you speak Spanish and you start hanging with the Latins, you'll never see the kind of prejudice and racism as you'll see in the DR. In fact, I've asked a number of Dominicans I know if they have any friends who are Haitians, and every single one of them has said Not really. They're a different culture. They don't mix with us. They've got lower standards, lower values, etc., etc. And the fact is, you'll never see a Dominican woman hook up with a Haitian guy as a boyfriend or significant other, and vice versa. That is a real no-no and a cultural taboo. In fact, one time I asked a couple of young Dominican ladies if they'd go out with a Haitian guy if he was loaded, rich. And they said, well, maybe they'd let him buy him drinks, but they would never go out with him or even dance with him at a disco. So bottom line, racism in the DR is to the bone. But not as far as the rainbow-colored DR population themselves. They're very tolerant of each other. It's just they don't like the Haitians. Now remember, I'm from Chicago, pretty much a segregated city. I think it's 50% black now, and people say it's extremely racist. Yep, you hear about that shit for brains, Rahm Emanuel. The Black Lives Matter guys and the undercurrents of prejudice everywhere, but you ain't seen nothing yet. You want a lesson in color-based prejudice? You ought to learn some Spanish and go to the DR. Or check out Colombia, Argentina, or Chile. You'll find the color-based racism extreme, much worse than the U.S. However, in places like Brazil, Venezuela, Cuba, and in the DR itself, there's not much color-based prejudice or racism at all. Go figure, huh? Oh, and just one more thing about the DR. Turns out every single Dominican I've polled has said they should build a wall between Haiti and the DR. But since it's also true that every Dominican will tell you his country government is completely corrupted by political pusbag maggots. Meaning, of course, there's not a dime available to build such a wall. However, every last one of them thinks it's a great idea. Oh, but you'll never hear talk like this from the mainstream media. And if you go on one of those nice package deal vacations in the DR, you'll never hear about that either because you'll be stuck in Gringolandia. Places like Punta Cana, Puerto Plata, La Romana, Casa de Campo. Those are tailor-made, all-inclusive gringo paradises, just like Cancun, Mexico. And it's a fact that the Dominicans are not going to open up and tell a gringo their feelings about their impoverished, downtrodden neighbors, the Haitians. It's just not done in polite talk amongst strangers. But if you do get a Dominican to open up at all about their feelings for Haitians, the first thing you'll hear is this. Huele mal. Los Haitianos huele mal. Translation, they stink. They'll say they're not like us at all. They don't bathe regularly. Hey, don't kill the messenger here. Come down and see for yourself. But you'll have to know a little Spanish, too, and you'll have to stay off the gringo tourist trail. Just remember, the name of the show is The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. The good, the bad, the ugly, and the great. Admittedly, we got a little bad and ugly today. Which brings me to one of the many emails I get about love, romance, mating, dating, etc. And normally I wouldn't be laying this out on you, but it's by popular demand, overwhelmingly popular demand. Oh, and this is guaranteed to rub some of you the wrong way. Again, don't kill the messenger. So, in the Lonely Heart, Love, Romance, Sex, Mating, Dating department, we get this one from Kelly. In fact, Kelly's been writing me sporadically, giving me his chronological breakdown of what you might call his own breakdown in more ways than one. Starts out, Dear Johnny, I'm a longtime listener, and I thought I'd tell you the reasons why I'm leaving the USA for Latin America. For good, eventually, anyway. And they're not from the usual suspect list of reasons that people might be thinking. Actually, I'm trying to sort out my life, and part of that is realizing that I watch way too much YouTube, and it just sucks up time like no other thing. I've ditched Facebook, at least, and Twitter, and it's opened up an amazing segment of my day. People should try it sometime. Then he says, as a result of this, I've unsubscribed to most of the YouTube channels I used to follow and have far fewer subscriptions. But I value the channels I'm subscribed to much, much more now. And it really helps me to waste less time on YouTube. Now, the time I do spend on YouTube is more productive and positive. And your YouTube channel is one of the few I listen to. However, I've noticed you've only got about 150 of your 700-plus shows up there. Where are the rest? We want more. All right, meet Johnny here again. We're working on it. That's all I can say. Okay, then, Kelly continues, and now for the reasons I'm leaving the U.S. for Latin America. I repeat, not for the reasons you might think. Not because of Big Brother surveillance, so that bothers me, and the abuse of TSA, that bothers me too. Or even the rise of Trump. What adult. Obamacare. That grates on me. And those massive property taxes I pay? Of course they suck. And of course, lawyers, lawyers everywhere. Everyone hates lawyers until you need one. Then he's a lifesaver. He's your best buddy, right? Which, by the way, has something, or I should say a lot, to do with my story. Then he says, furthermore, I'm pissed off about the dumbed-down school system, but that's not pushing me over the edge and forcing me to leave. And I'm not even all that angry that there are so many spoiled, entitled kids addicted to their devices. And those lazy-ass millennials complaining that they don't have enough money to move out of mommy's and daddy's house. Well, they don't irritate me that much either. That just means there are more high-level jobs for people with determination and a brain. In other words, not my problem. And that soccer mom society you see everywhere, well, sure, that annoys me, and Big Pharma pisses me off, and the IRS, well, let's not get into that. And I have to admit, all those aforementioned reasons are good ones, good enough to maybe push you over the edge and make you want to leave the good old US of A for good. Well, my reason, Johnny, and it trumps everything, is divorce. Twice. Johnny, I screwed up twice. And I know if I stick around, it's just going to happen to me again because, unfortunately, I'm what you might call the marrying kind. I need to have female company. I need to have a lady around. So anyway, Johnny, I might be dumb, but I'm not stupid. Remember Kierkegaard, that 19th century philosopher? Remember what he said? He said, marry and you will regret it. Don't marry and you will regret it. And if you update that to the 21st century, if you're single, you could say, date, and you will regret it. Don't date, and you will regret it. Kind of like that. And I've got an addendum to that, and it goes like this. Divorce, and you will regret it. Don't divorce, and you will regret it. And Johnny, after listening to every single one of your shows, and all your YouTubes too, I have to say, I kind of think you'll admit that you could apply that logic too. In other words, move to Latin America and you will regret it. Don't move to Latin America and you will regret it. Yep, those unintended consequences have a way of smacking you in the ass. But I digress, dear Johnny. But first, Johnny, I want to let you in on a few American divorce secrets, or nightmares, whatever you want to call them, and why I am now testing the waters on those Latin dating mating sites. In fact, I've booked a trip to Medellin, Colombia. Now, you might think I'm a glutton for punishment, or maybe just a cad, but there are three Colombian women I've been communicating with online at ColombianCupid.com. Oh, and did I tell you my Spanish sucks? Well, guess what? When you go to these Latin dating sites and you buy the premium membership, it's something like $40 a month, whatever. When you do your text messaging and communicating, they instantly translate your English to Spanish and their Spanish to English. So you don't even need Google Translate. Of course, you will if you communicate with them on the phone yourself. But of course, we're talking about Latin ladies that do not speak English now. And the ones you'll find that do speak English, Johnny, well, you're in for a load of trouble. More on that in my next email. Now, Johnny, before you think I'm a complete idiot for sticking my neck out like that when I don't even speak any Spanish, I mean hooking up with women from another country I haven't even visited yet. I know, it sounds like a fool's bargain. Here's the thing. I may be dumb, but I'm not stupid. Not stupid enough to just dive in. Because, you see, my brother is one of those military jarheads you talk about. Well, not quite a jarhead, but close. He was stationed in Colombia. He told me the stories of life there for gringos. How great it was. How you become kind of a great alternative to the macho Latin guys who lie, cheat, always seem to let their women down. So my jarhead brother Jay told me the stories, many stories, of how life is there in Colombia for gringos. He told me how cheap it is to live there and those districts you want to live in. He also told me he has plans to get his 20 years and out and has only 7 more to go. And though he's now stationed in Mexico City, he says there's nothing like Colombia and goes back, not to the U.S. when he has his vacations, like you might think he would, but he goes back to Colombia. So guess where he'll be going at the retired ripe old age of 39 in 7 short years? Colombia, of course, and he's already bought a nice piece of raw land there where he plans on settling down with his lady and building a house. And you know what? I'm as jealous as hell. And worse, to my regret, He speaks Spanish and I don't. But I'm working on it. At least that's in my preliminary plan. So the question is, would I have stuck my toe in the ColombianCupid.com waters if it wasn't for my brother? Hell no. I'm a coward at heart. I'd be so worried I'd be taken for a ride, spotted out as a stupid gringo and all that. I would have never had the grit or the nerve, but it was my brother. And your shows too, Johnny, who's responsible for being my, what you might call, lifesaver. So I mentioned it was divorce that got me to this point. Well, let me tell you what happens to men in divorces in the age of feminism. Number one, the couple will split. Friends and family will choose sides. The husband's friends will side with whoever their wives side with or be in big trouble. And the soon-to-be ex-wife, unless she's a real skank, a drunk, or a partier, or just generally a bad mother, your married friends and acquaintances will side with her principally because women are a lot more social than men and she'll talk to a lot more people. And that soon-to-be ex-wife will be the only voice anyone around listens to because by then she has already thoroughly convinced everyone and she'll turn on the tears to prove it that she is the victim and you the heartless ogre. It won't take long for you to feel alone and alienated. After some months, you'll be beaten down to a point that you'll agree to whatever it takes to finalize the divorce and attempt to rebuild what's left of your life, if you've got any dough or credit left, to begin that process. And soon enough, you'll realize that marriage, as it proceeds to divorce, has been weaponized by feminism, social justice warriors, and divorce lawyers. Against who? Give you one guess. I'm sure you've heard that 50% of marriages end in divorce. But that doesn't seem to deter anyone. I mean, that's what Vegas is all about, right? You think you've got a chance to win big, and who knows, you might get lucky. Even though you know damn well the house has the edge, and you're gonna lose in the long run. Same odds with marriage. And worse yet, if someone were to sit you down and tell you that half the parachutes in a plane will fail, would you jump? No way. But as Chris Rock says in his stand-up routine, although 50% of marriages end in divorce, that's not the right statistic at all. That other 50%, deep down, they want a divorce too, but they're just indecisive cowards. Oh boy, it's me, Johnny, here. We're getting towards the end of the show, and I've got no way enough time to finish this one off. And believe me, it gets better, or I should say, worse. So, do stay tuned. In the next show, we'll pick up where we left off, which does get me wondering just how much hate mail I'm going to get on this one.
You've been listening to the Expat Files Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, you can schedule a one-on-one phone call with me. But first, download my free Plan B questionnaire at www.thenewexpat.com. Better yet, if you want to get your Plan B going from right up there in the States, just sign up for my 9-hour Expat Essentials course. Get the perfect Plan B blueprint by going to theexpatfiles.com/academy.